about the four babies, one of them killed by fentanyl in the Bronx, New York. You heard about the story, the daycare center, and then in the center, they were distributing fentanyl and particles got in the air, killed a one-year-old and three other kids under the age of three had to go to the hospital. One may die. So then we hear the usual hue and cry. Oh, we have to do something about fentanyl. Oh, yeah. And this is coming from the liberal politicians as well as the conservatives. Well, Joe Biden opened a border, and that has led to record amounts of heroin, fentanyl, cocaine, methamphetamine, you name it, streaming across the border, killing hundreds of thousands of Americans, including babies. So where's the responsibility that Joe Biden has? Why isn't that being discussed? And then you got the no bail laws. Fentanyl dealers don't even have to spend the night in prison. They bust them, they're right out going back to selling fentanyl. That's what these people do. But totally ignored are the drug addicts themselves who buy fentanyl to get high. And you know what this tells me? They want to die. They have no control over what they're ingesting into their bodies. They could go out in a heartbeat. And hundreds of thousands of them have been killed over the past few years. These drug addicts are causing mayhem everywhere. But they don't care because they want to die. Back in a moment.
Every morning, the president wakes up to a top-secret brief on America's biggest challenges. Ever wished you were in the room? Of course you have. I'm Mike Baker, former CIA ops officer, and I'm here to give you the next best thing. Welcome to the President's Daily Brief podcast. Every weekday, I break down the day's most pressing issues in just 20 minutes. Get briefed. Stay ahead. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
That is the Morning O'Reilly Update. More analysis later on.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
The state Republican Party met in Winnemucca over the weekend. They endorsed the caucus. The primary will be February 6th. It's a beauty pageant. That's all it is. And on the 8th, it'll be the caucus. And the caucus is where we'll find out how many delegates the candidates end up garnering from the state of Nevada. I will say this. It's a little confusing for folks, but I think more and more people are on board. Somebody that's on board is former President Donald J. Trump. He endorsed that caucus date, and he is going to be a part of it. Supposedly, they were going to vote, and we'll find out from Victor Jakes if the state party approved this, what amounts to about a $55,000 buy-in to the caucus. We'll find out what's going to happen there. And a whole lot more coming up in our next hour. Victor Jakes will join us. One of the things that he wrote about over the weekend, and by the way, this is horrible, horrible stuff, that Nevada Democrats are quietly supporting partial birth abortion. This is where I think we have to, as a society, draw the line. We really honestly do. This is one of those things. And the story begins, the column begins, Nevada Democrats support partial birth abortion. They just don't like to mention it. If indeed they don't like to mention it, what are they ashamed of? Why not proudly put it on ads and different places? This is going to be an issue in the 2024 election. And it's the fact that Nevada Democrats are apparently supporting partial birth abortion, which is just horrible. It is terrible. It's a bad thing. And it's something that Republicans, I think they're going to have to make it a part of this election. This is gonna be one of those things that I think we're gonna have to put on the ballot in 2024. It's partial birth abortion is awful. It's terrible, and we simply need to fight it, and we need to do it very publicly. This thing of like the Democrats, they don't like to mention it. We'll find out from Victor Jakes a little bit more about what this is about. We'll do that and a whole lot more coming up. My name is Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us right here on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
I get asked all the time why we do all of those segments on Our American Stories about people who found the American dream. And we do it because it's true. This country has great stories to tell, and we tell them on this station every night, because one thing I've learned is this: there's an American story in all of us. Join me for Our American Stories right here.
Every night from 10 to midnight on AM 670 KMZQ, talk radio done right.
Bentley Chevrolet is Nevada's number one Chevrolet volume dealership. Again, find new roads.
F-I-N-D-L-A-Y. Bentley Chevy is a place to buy.
Home of the... Woo!
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is... done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live from the Dream Dental Studios on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. There's a tentative deal that could end the TV and movie writers' strike, but there is no deal to get striking auto workers back on the job. And tomorrow, President Biden will visit a Michigan picket line a day before former President Trump meets with striking UAW members. After making landfall along the North Carolina coast over the weekend, what's left of the storm named Ophelia is hammering away at the east coast from New Jersey to Massachusetts, bringing high winds and very heavy rains. No doubt it will be a heartbreaking experience for many of the Maui residents who later today will be escorted back to the burn zone on the Hawaiian island. They'll return to a scene of devastation to see what's left of their homes in Lahaina, thousands of which were destroyed by last month's deadly wildfires. NASA's first asteroid samples collected from deep space have parachuted into the Utah desert aboard a small space capsule. The BBC's Jonathan Amos says the homecoming went exactly as planned.
It could not have gone better. The OSIRIS-REx capsule touched down almost on the precise spot that had been predicted for it. When the recovery teams moved in, they found the vessel blackened from its fiery descent, but otherwise in perfect shape. Scientists worked quickly to get the capsule into a sterile environment so it can take the next leg on its journey. A C-17 transport plane will move the container to the Johnson Space Center in Houston, where a dedicated laboratory has been set up to lead the investigation into Bennu's makeup. NASA is promising to deliver a first broad assessment next month, but the program of detailed study that's been planned will take at least 2 years to complete.
The small container's return caps a seven-year mission. Watching Wall Street, the Dow down 44 points, the NASDAQ trading 17 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Donald Trump's indictment proves that saving America is not going to be easy. There are entrenched powers that are fighting this with everything they've got. They want to keep control over the country, the narrative, and the nation's money supply. Hi, I'm Lance Wall now. I'm a news analyst, a Christian author, an evangelical leader. I speak to millions of people every week, people just like you. You see, what the elites are doing is using inflation and government handouts and now central bank digital currencies to determine how they're going to control America. And that's why I recommend all Christians start a gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. because physical precious metals are one of the few ways you can maintain control over your own savings. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and you'll see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached. Text the word FAITH to 989898 and you're going to be blessed by taking action right now.
This is your KMZQ News Flash. MGM Resorts International says its online reservation system, it's back. The casino giant announced on Friday that the reservations can now be made online at MGMResorts.com and on its mobile app. Experts say MGM Resorts, Nevada's largest employer, have been losing between $4 and $8 million in revenue each and every day since the beginning of that cyber attack disruption that started on September 10th. The cyber attack being investigated by the FBI. Gaming experts say it was crucial for MGM Properties to get back on track with a series of big events coming up very soon. The inaugural Las Vegas Grand Prix, that happens in November. The National Finals Rodeo in December, CES in January, and of course, Super Bowl 58 on February 11th. Super Bowl 58 now has a halftime performer with a Las Vegas connection. The NFL announcing that Usher will be the headlining performer at the Super Bowl halftime show come February 11th over at Allegiant Stadium. The timing could not be better for the Atlanta-born superstar. He'll also be releasing his ninth album, Coming Home, along with his Super Bowl performance. Usher joins a growing list of Las Vegas performers to play the Super Bowl halftime show that includes Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars, and Aerosmith. With an opening date of December 13th, just announced, Fountain Blue Las Vegas holding its five-day job fair. The Strip property needs 6,500 employees for its restaurants, bars, and nightlife operations. The job fair begins today. For more information, click on careers.com, fountainbluelasvegas.com. And Wynn and Encore Las Vegas going back to charging for self-parking for non-guests. That daily parking fee, $20 a day. First 4 hours are free. Valet parking will be $40 per day. The return to parking, self-paid parking, begins on Wednesday. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
AM 670 KMCQ broadcasts live from the Dream Dental Studios. Ditch your dentures and go with teeth replacements at Dream Dental. Call or text 702-901-NOMO, 702-901-6666.
Every 2 seconds, a hospital patient needs a life-saving blood transfusion. Every 2 seconds, there's an urgent need for blood donation. Every second matters. In an emergency, doctors may face impossible choices. Who gets blood and who must wait? Will you roll up a sleeve and give? Because of you, life doesn't stop. Donate blood. Make your appointment today at Vitalant.org.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
Struggling this Monday morning on the drive-in. We still have the major backup on the east side of the valley on 95 northbound after Charleston is where the accident is. That's blocking the right lane, 95 northbound again past Charleston. The resort corridor doesn't look any better. Really tight there on southbound 15 approaching Sahara. The left two lanes are blocked there, 15 southbound of Sahara. Now getting word of a problem on the southern beltway as you head in toward Henderson, 215 eastbound before the airport connector turnoff. Sunny and warm today. Afternoon temperatures won't come anywhere near triple digits. Today's highs expected to stop right around 93 degrees. Got a ways to go before we hit that. It's only 68 right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become the 47th President of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency because of you, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settled. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
I'm the king of the world! Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
We're number two, live and local for a Monday, September 25th. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you until 9 o'clock. It is always good to begin the week with Victor Jakes, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He joins us now. Victor, how was your weekend, my friend?
It was a good one. Thank you, Kevin. Hope you had a nice weekend as well.
It was good until the Raiders game, and then things kind of went downhill. But we'll talk about that another time. The state Republican Party met in Winnemucca. Do we know what they did, if anything?
They did. They Nevada is the third state to vote among Nevada GOP is the third state to vote in the presidential selection process, and state law requires the state to hold a primary, and Republicans went to Winnemucca and decided that they are going to hold a caucus as well, and the delegates will be awarded at the caucus, and anyone who participates in the primary will not be allowed to participate in the caucus, and they put some restrictions on super PACs helping presidential candidates that aren't going to be allowed. And the short version, I mean, those are all the details. The short version is they rigged the election for Donald Trump, and I would expect Republican presidential candidates to generally keep avoiding the state.
What does it mean, participate in the primary?
So every Republican in the state is still going to be mailed a presidential primary ballot in early February. Who is on that ballot, the campaign has to physically go and sign up and say, yes, we'd like to be on, pay whatever fee it is. We're running for president. We want to be on the ballot. And so the state GOP is saying is that if any Republican presidential candidate puts their name on the ballot that's going to be mailed out to every Republican in the state, they can't participate in the caucus a couple days later.
So is it possible that we may end up being sent a ballot that has no Republican names on it?
Oh, no. I mean, it's possible, yes. But the thing is, I think some of the candidates are going to think, hey, I'm not going to win this caucus, either because, I'm not a serious, I'm polling at 2%, or because, I think DeSantis or Haley might think this, look, the caucus is obviously rigged for Trump. They obviously want Trump to win. They're going to give him every institutional advantage. And why in the world would I compete in that? And I might get a news cycle out of, hey, I won the Nevada primary. Even if there's no delegates attached to it, you could still say, that you won it, which is something. And so I very strongly suspect you'll still see a few candidates on the primary ballot.
But I'm just curious how a candidate, any candidate, would end up bragging about a beauty pageant win where most of the contestants don't show up, meaning the primary election.
It's more likely that most of the contestants won't show up in the caucus. The primary is very easy, and the reason you brag about it is because it's a win. I mean, because you can say legitimately, hey, I won the state primary in Nevada, and most people aren't going to understand this idea that, oh, out here in Nevada, in the crazy Wild West, we have two things going on. And the first one, the one that, that involves a ballot being sent to everyone in the state, a whole, statewide election, that one doesn't actually count. People anywhere else in the country are not going to understand it. Nevada Republicans are not going to understand it. It's extremely confusing. It's extremely foolish. And so it's going to be very easy to brag about, hey, I won the Nevada primary. I mean, that sounds good for anyone to be able to say, like, hey, I won one of the first three states' primaries. That sounds good. And then, very small percentage of people are going to understand the details of, oh, actually, no, it's this thing a couple days later where, a few thousand people participated. That's what actually awarded the delegates.
So is it good for Nevada politics or bad for Nevada politics and Republicans, this whole idea of the primary coming up on the 6th of February, the 8th is the caucus. Is that good for us or bad for us?
Oh, it's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. And, what the state party should be focused on is we have this once every, you know what, 20 years opportunity where there is, we're an early state. It's a very competitive primary, and we are, our role as a state party should be using this opportunity, leveraging this opportunity to register as many Republican voters as possible. We should be, you know, calling up the nonpartisan voters. Hey, do you want to participate in the Republican primary? Let us know. We'll send you a packet where you can change your voter registration. They should be coming to the campaigns and saying, look, we are running a fair election here. It's run by the state. You will have a great chance here. Come participate. And then the campaigns will put, would have put money in to registering people as Republicans, to generating Republican turnout. And DeSantis's super PAC was in the state door knocking. And then they pulled out once they realized that, oh, you know, the state party is going to rig this election for Trump. And so what the great lost opportunity is, you know, if we were a competitive state, we're never going to be Iowa or New Hampshire or even South Carolina. But you could have seen more candidates coming here, generating interest in the Republican Party in Nevada. And that's what the Republican Party should be focused on. And the deep irony and just the tragic irony is that Nevada is Trump's best early state. It's probably one of his best states in the entire country. He did not need the thumb on the scale. What he needs is he needs another 30,000 votes in November 2024. And guess what? If you had registered another 50 to 60,000 Republican voters, you would have been much more likely to get those votes. And so it's just very short-sighted, self-sabotage on the part of the Nevada GOP and even the Trump campaign, because he didn't need the help to win Nevada. What he needed is he needed other campaigns to pour resources in here to get people excited about being a Republican, registering as a Republican, making it more likely that any winning Republican candidate could turn them out in the general election where they're really needed.
In the run-up to Winnemucca, there were numbers like $55,000 that would be required for a candidate to be a part of the caucus. Is that true? $55,000?
$55,000 is the registration fee. If a candidate hosts the event with the state party, it's $35,000. So again, you know, we just talked about why would someone register as a, you know, in the primary instead of the caucus. I mean, there's another reason. I mean, if you're one of the top candidates, obviously $55,000 doesn't make or break. But, you know, if you're polling at 2-3%, you know, if you're the governor of North Dakota, you know, why not throw your name on the primary ballot and see if you can say, hey, I want to stay.
Wow. Victor Jakes joining us, the 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We continue to have an impasse between the Clark County School District and its teachers. What is the latest as you know it? And are we any closer to getting an arbitration hearing where an arbitrator can sort through all this?
Well, we're closer than we were a week ago just because it's a week further along, but this is not a quick process. I mean, there's a whole process on selecting the arbitrator, and then the arbitrator tries to, you know, get them both to agree on something, and then the arbitrator does fact-finding, and, you know, of course, because it's a lawyer, it takes forever. So, I mean, you're really looking at March, April at the earliest for a decision. You know, and if I'm a teacher in the Clark County School District, I mean, the district is offering you a 9% across the board raise, potentially $5,000, even $10,000 more on top of that for education in a kind of a moving people around on the salary scale. And right now it's the union holding teachers back from getting those raises. And if I was a teacher, I'd be going to the union and saying, look, this is crazy. I want that money right now. Like, I don't want this money in 8 months. Like, the district is offering a pretty substantial raises, and the union's the one holding it back.
You don't look for this thing to be settled then until March or April of next year, really?
Yeah. I mean, there was a contract dispute I want to say 2017 or 2018. You know, I looked back, and then it was March or April the next year. I can't remember what year it was, but I went back and I looked at it, and then, you know, it didn't get resolved until, you know, the school year was almost out.
Wow. Your column today was very thought-provoking, as always. Nevada Democrats support partial birth abortion. They just don't like to mention it. Is this going to be on the ballot in 2024?
You know, very likely it's going to be on the ballot. The state Democrats in the legislature proposed a constitutional amendment legalizing abortion to the point of birth, and they all voted for that, every single state Democrat in the legislature. But those have to be voted on twice by the legislature, and so recently, earlier this month, some liberal groups announced they were going to put very similar language as an initiative petition for a constitutional amendment on the ballot, and you know, they're going to try and collect signatures and have it on the ballot in November 2024. So it's very likely, you know, what they're doing. Obviously, they, you know, love abortion. They're just fanatical about people being able to kill preborn babies. But they also think it's a turnout booster to have abortion on the ballot, because they, you know, they don't mention, oh yeah, this legalizes full term abortions. Like, this legalizes abortions up to the point of birth. This legalizes partial birth abortions. They'll say, oh, it's a woman's right to choose is on the ballot, and you need to get out and vote. And so they're wanting to use it to gin up turnout, and, you know, just hope that they can have the public ignore how radical this proposal is.
Well, you've got Planned Parenthood and the ACLU of Nevada supporting this ballot initiative. Is there any organized opposition? I mean, is anybody standing up to say, whoa?
I don't know. I hope so. I mean, we have Nevada Right to Life. I hope they are interested. You know, I it would be nice to see Governor Lombardo's team do something. You know, and the situation we have is Republicans, at least their consultants, think the abortion issue is bad for us, and so we should just run away. And that's what happened in 2022. Everyone ran away from it. And I don't think that was a winning strategy. Even though Lombardo eked out a win, I think that had more to do with Sisolak's weaknesses than Lombardo running away on abortion. I think Republicans, the thing they have to understand is Democrats are going to accuse you of the worst no matter what you do. So you might as well go on offense and punch back and say, hey, abortion is already illegal in Nevada. All they want to do is enshrine full-term abortion in the state constitution. Like, that's outrageous. No, you should not support that. They have a radical position on here. And, you know, even if you don't do it because you are, you know, you have the guts to stand up for the pro-life cause, do it for just pure, like, your self-interested electoral sake, because you know they're going to slam you on this the next time you run. You might as well go forward and have an offensive message and not just cede the whole battleground to the left.
So what is the winning strategy? Is it? I mean, I have consultants that tell me all the time, I'm telling my candidates not even to mention abortion. It's just off the table. What is the winning strategy then?
Well, the winning strategy is to tell the truth to the public that Democrats support abortion up to the point of birth. And that's what they want to enshrine in the Constitution. And you just mentioned that. I mean, the thing is the polling on third trimester abortion is terrible for Democrats. I mean, we're talking like 25% support, you know, 2-1, 3-1 are opposed to third trimester abortions, but the public doesn't know that it's third trimester abortions on the ballot because Republicans don't have the guts to say, hey, this is legalizing third trimester abortions. And so it's just, you know, the Democrats get away with this radical, radical proposal because no one is willing to mention it.
In a final couple of minutes, this is an historic week in the history of our country. We've got the debate, the GOP debate on Wednesday. We've got the impeachment inquiry panel hearing number one, and they're subpoenaing banking records from Hunter Biden and others. What do you expect this week? First of all, in the GOP debate, is anybody gonna walk away from this thing as a clear winner? And even the fact that Donald Trump's not going to be there.
Well, that is the overarching dynamic. I mean, I think what you're seeing in Iowa and New Hampshire. I mean, there was a poll out last week that showed Trump at like